What's up, bad boys? Thanks for clicking on this podcast today. This month, we got a very special treat for you. It's Mecha March, and we're going to be running down a different mech anime every week this month. That's four animes, and that's four chances to talk about big, bulbous, cool, giant robots. Isn't that fun? So sit back, relax, get in that goddamn robot, Shinji, and have a nice Mecha March.
It's bad. Anime.
Hello, everybody. My name is John.
And I'm Rob.
And this is Bad Anime, the show where we decide,
is this anime bad?
And ding, 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 for our last week.
Welcome back to Gundam.
We are going back to Gundam. Thought we tricked you last week with Megazone, did you? Too bad.
Well, I kind of foreshadowed it heavy in that episode, and I forgot that I did that. I'm just like, because at that point, we kind of decided what we want to do, because we just had so much fun with the first Gundam compilation movie. And 8th MS team were like, do you want to just do another Gundam for the month? It's like, yeah, sure.
Why not? But I think this one actually relates back to the first one we did in a lot of ways. So well, I think it's relevant.
It's placed literally like towards the end of the first one. And also for Mecha March, it's a great little wrap up because this is kind of where we're at now with the Gundam franchise and maybe mech as a whole. Because occasionally the mech genre is trying to expand to do new things and try to bring new people in, but it just doesn't always click. Mm-hmm. So what they do a lot of the time now is kind of milk previous franchises. So in this case, Gundam, you know, they're doing Witch from Mercury.
That's right.
Some people really enjoyed it. We were lukewarm on the first couple episodes, so
yes, we were.
Who knows if we'll go back to it or not? I don't fucking know. But being honest, and but what they're doing in the meantime though is that they're doing a lot of stuff set within the Universal Century timeline for the older fans.
Right.
So if you're already into Gundam, especially UC, you're going to keep getting rewarded with new content.
Yes.
Which, so then that's kind of where mech's out of the hole. The people who are into the genre are still there, but they're having a hard time bringing people in. So that's kind of where mech is at right now as a genre, which is pretty cool. This is even cooler because... Well, the name is not cool. The name is fucking stupid.
The name is so stupid. But continue.
Yeah, Mobile Suit Gundam. What is it?
Kukuru's Doan's Island. I've been saying Kukuru's Doan every day since I've watched this.
You said it on the phone a few times when Kukuru's wasn't related. We weren't talking about the podcast even. And you just bring up Kukuru's Doan. I'm like, I haven't watched it yet, damn it.
Anything you said to me for that entire call, I just said, oh, wow, what a Kukuru's Doan move by you. And you were like, I don't know what that means. I haven't watched it. Stop it.
Well, now I take it as a huge compliment because the guy's just kind of daddy.
He's a beefcake daddy. Goddamn, is he ever.
I mean, and I watched the dub and that voice. Oh, my God.
Yeah, geez. What a gruff voice on that guy. And he's got just a little bit of facial hair to the extent where, like, ooh, like it's kind of like a 5 o'clock shadow kind of deal, but he has to raise these kids, so he can't worry about shaving on the job.
He has to raise an island full of children.
He does. Do you now see what I was telling you earlier?
Because the joke you sent me was like, oh, yeah, remember the last episode of 8th MS Team? Yeah, that's a movie. I'm like, oh, okay.
And that's basically what we got here. I mean, it's basically just all these kids on an island being raised by Kukuru's Doan, who's this, as we said, daddy figure.
Yeah.
Who just kind of dropped out of the Zeon fighting force that he was in and now raises these kids that he found on the battlefield almost dead on an island somewhere. And he's a farmer kind
of
now.
Yeah, the island's like off the coast of Spain from what they showed in a map because like they were trying, like they had a mission there and then afterwards they had to go to Belfast. Setting up actually the battle that we saw at the end of the first Gundam compilation movie. So like right before they battled with the Jauf, the blue Zaku, they're like, this was taking place right before that. So that's because this was based off episode 15 of the original series, which hasn't been shown in the West ever because I forget his name. It wasn't Tomino, but it was the head animator and character designer. He was hospitalized in the middle of Gundam's production. So this episode was completely outsourced and the animation was so garbage. Both Tomino and the lead animator said, this is never being seen, like shown again. So, but they said, it's like, hey, the story was kind of cool. Let's make it a movie. And I'm like,
okay. And way longer than it originally was.
Well, that's the thing. And unfortunately, it kind of feels like that. So, because they took an episode of TV, 22 minutes, 23, whatever the hell. And they said, let's make it an hour 40. It's like, oh, hour 45 actually, so it's like,
yeah, it was getting up to the 2 hour mark, and
it was just shy of it, but it
that
was.
Is a stretch. I mean, I've never seen, of course, the original episode 15.
You're right. And odds are we'll never will unless piracy is a thing.
I guess. Unless we could find it on the dark web. I don't know. Somebody send a link. Actually, don't send a link. My computer has a lot of viruses anyways. don't do that. But as I was saying, this episode 15, I haven't seen it. So I can't necessarily. The problem here that I was having was, okay, what did they take from that episode and do? And what did they just fill in the gaps here? What did they change from episode to movie? Because you have to imagine there's a lot of stuff that they did add to this just the episode. Because there's no way that they could have fit all of this action and all of this drama into a nice 22-minute package.
Yeah, no, that would be impossible. I imagine it was broad strokes. Like, hey, dude's on an island. Cool. He realized the Zeon were fucked. And he said, you know what? I'm kind of done with the whole war thing.
Yeah,
that's what I assume, because here's the thing with Gundam, because I watched like the first maybe 8 or 9 episodes of the original series. I'm way further along in Zeta because Zeta is just way darker and fun, but well, fun for my taste. So
everybody's siblings die and there's sad endings and she doesn't get to keep the baby.
So far the main character's parents are both dead.
Great, as per usual, honestly. I mean, that's not even sad. That's just an anime.
Well, yeah. Well, it was great because, you know, right before Camille's dad dies, like, Camille's dad just, like, hits him. So, and then he dies, and Camille's like, oh, no. Camille's kind of a whiny bitch in Zeta, but still, it's a lot of fun. Anyway.
That's fun.
Well, let's not jump protagonist, because this is a strictly an Amuro story.
It is an Amuro story.
Char is nowhere to be found.
Yes, although we do see Char's red Zaku at one point laughing.
During flashback, yeah.
And I was like, show me Char, you cowards! Animate him!
Give me Char, damn it!
Reanimate him!
Reanimate your feet.
In 2022, I would have liked to see what they did with Char, but they...
Well, again, the Gundam Origins, like the whole series they did in 2013 or 15, somewhere around there, that was mostly the Char show.
Yeah,
That's a very hard thing to say.
And this one was all Zard, no Char, if you know what I mean.
All Amuro.
All Amuro.
And Kukuru's Doan.
And Kukuru's Doan. So yeah, I mean, this movie, it kind of got started with Amuro getting like pushed off a cliff by some Zaku, which we later found out was Kukuru's Doan.
Yeah.
So he gets pushed off. His Gundam's lost. He wakes up in a bed surrounded by children. First thing he's thinking, wow, what are all these kids doing around me? And who the fuck is in charge here? So he gets
like,
up.
Why is there so many children? Like, that's the thing. In the original Gundam, when we saw them here, there was an emphasis on the kids and how they're affected by war. And those three little brats are on White Base. They had a little more screen time here. More akin to what they would have in the original series.
Right. Yeah. They did. Because
my whole spiel during Gundam 1 is all they took out a bunch of filler. This is what they said. Hey, let's put it all back in
and just
make a side quest movie in 2022. We get the original Japanese voice actor for Amuro back. Sweet.
It's like people getting butt injections. Like you take some fat out the front and then you got to put it somewhere. So instead of filling it up otherwise, they decided, hey, let's wait till 2022.
Yep.
Till we got this movie coming out and then let's inject it into that butt.
Yes. But the thing is, you know, well, here's the thing. Does the fat age like wine or cheese? That's kind of what the question is here.
I guess that is the question because, point blank, what were you feeling when watching this for the hour and 45 minutes? Were you bored at any point? Because I was kind of bored once in a while.
Well, yeah, but then again, like, it's one of those things you have to kind of put in context now because I'm getting a little better at doing this, especially with any Japanese media, because a lot of times in Japanese modern media, you're going to have an hour of just fucking around pure character stuff. The story's not really going to move. They're not really trying to move it. They're just trying to build setting, atmosphere, character development, etc. So character development falls a little on the wayside, but you're supposed to be put in this world. It was the fucking the village part in the fourth Eva rebuild where Rei and Shinji are fucking around for an hour.
Right.
Where like it's boring, yeah, but like you're supposed to be bored. Which is a weird...
Yeah, it's not supposed to be exciting edge of your seat time. They often save that for the very end. Or
kind of
near the very end.
Thankfully, this one gave us some in the middle.
They did.
Not the middle, in the beginning, I should say.
They gave us a little action. They kind of sandwiched the action.
Yeah, they sandwiched the action, and they did give us like the one clip in the middle, randomly, of like the Southern Cross just like tanking a city.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. They did. That was pretty cool too.
Well, the whole thing is like the mechs here looked fucking sick.
They looked phenomenal.
The only weird incongruity plot-wise is that they introduced the gyms way earlier in this.
Mm.
Because that's what they call the the not Gundam Federation units.
Oh, gyms.
Yeah, the GMs.
Oh, the GMs. Okay, so the other guys that are like the Landmaster type stuff.
Exactly.
Okay.
Basically, the normal Federation soldier. Gotcha. So they got introduced way later in the original Gundam series. That's the really big difference I noticed. They moved up the gym's presence, probably because they wanted more fight scenes.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. They needed it.
Yeah, definitely. Exactly. They needed it. So that was kind of cool to see the GMs this early, because I've always loved the design. I just thought that they're very cool, simplistic soldier designs.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
it makes the Gundam feel more unique, because when you look at the Gundam individually, like, that's no way that's a rank and file soldier. That's a super unit.
That stands out somehow. Yeah,
exactly.
That sticks out like a sore thumb.
Exactly. So then I love the way they evenly bake that into the narrative, because the Gundam mm-hmm. is supposed to be the super weapon.
And it does look like it. It looks nice in this one.
Oh my! Well, the thing is, this one, they do a really good job of making the mechs look gigantic and menacing.
Yes.
One scene where, much later on, where they find the Gundam, like, it's the Southern Cross squad, whatever, trying to infiltrate, because they're trying to launch missiles. And they tear down a giant, it's a Zaku, tearing down a giant sheet. And the Gundam's behind it. That shot of the Gundam, like, in the shadows, but then its eyes going red.
Yeah.
Right before it stabs the... it basically, because it shoves the laser sword lightsaber thing into the Zaku's chest and then turns it on. So
that shit was crazy.
The Gundam looked menacing as fuck in that. In the beginning, in the first fight scene, the Zaku looked scary for the first time.
Yeah, you know, I was actually intimidated by the Zakus for the first time ever looking at them. Because usually, especially in Gundam 1, they just kind of look like goofy-ass Gundam suits. Goofy-ass like suits for like Gumby or
exactly,
something.
Exactly, yeah. They
just look... like green, floppy-doopy, like weird little eye beating around there. Like even in 8th MS Team, I just saw them and I was like, they are lame.
Well, they're just kind of whatever, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
but in this one, especially with like the cross, like that group of people,
the
like
camo,
damn.
With like the desert camo, like,
yes.
Gazakus.
That shit was crazy. I was like, damn, okay.
What's
like,
funny, because you seem to enjoy all the Zakus that aren't green.
I do like all the non-green Zakus. I feel like what it's just special when it's not the regular one, you know, when you got
a blue one,
you got a red one, it kind of reminds me of a Power Rangers kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. You know, where they're amping up the intensity to when they're breaking away from traditional colors. I totally get that.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
Yeah, but the Zaku here looked really intimidating. Just all, and here's the thing, my rant I made 100 times, CG when used for mech anime can look really good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think it did here. I mean, all the animation here was pretty flawless in my mind. I mean, it looked modern, but I don't know what your take on it is, like being a bigger fan of the Gundam series. But compared to, like, Gundam 1, obviously that's more, you know, vintage.
Yeah. Obviously that was made in 79.
Yeah. I was watching this, and I was like, wow, this looks sick. Like, I loved it. I loved how it looked. I thought it looked amazing. I imagine what this was like what Gundam was intended to look like. Since
exactly.
The very
This was the vision all along.
Yes, of course. Which obviously there are like technological limitations a long time ago.
Yeah, of course.
But now that they have the technology and that they're blowing this out, I thought this looked awesome. And I thought it was a great idea to resurrect something from early in the series as kind of a new movie style thing. So
it was a really cool idea. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The only thing that was a little weird at first, but I really got accustomed to quickly, was seeing these very, very, very 1970s anime character designs animated in a modern style.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not used to seeing characters who look like that, who are drawn like that, to look this good.
Yeah,
so that was a little weird at first, and some of it looked like they were doing a little too much animation-wise. The first couple scenes, like the Federation guy who, like the lackey who kept relaying messages to Bright, the one who was crying a lot,
mm-hmm.
His animation was a little over the top in kind of a weird way. I think that was the only character where like 70s stylings and aesthetics clashing with modern, because the 70s for comedy characters was always huge and over the top and kind of goofy.
Right.
So it's like they were trying to be goofy, but they didn't animate it as expressively as they would in the 70s. So like there was a little bit of a generation clash there. Nothing major, but that was the only one.
Yeah, I also thought like Amuro was a little. I liked the look of it. But when I first saw him, he looked a little oblong.
Yeah,
like a little like
a few characters did.
Like ovalic more so, like a lot thinner. He kind of looked like somebody squeezed him a little bit.
Yeah,
that was interesting.
Yeah, a lot of the heads actually in general looked more oblong than circle here.
Yes, not like full, not very full. Like he wasn't like the full cheeked up baby boy we all knew in like Gundam 1. He kind of like slimmed out a little bit in the
cheek.
They
wanted to make him a lean Twinkie boy.
Lean Twink, like an Eren Jaeger. Yeah, lean Twink six pack. He didn't work for it.
Yeah, I don't know there. But anyway. But so Amuro gets, so Doan doesn't kill him. He actually, like you said, he brings him back to his lighthouse filled with all the children, affected by war or whatever. They have one kid who keeps milking the goat.
Yeah,
one kid who cries
really
all the time.
Milk the goat. Yeah,
one asshole kid, one kid, a bunch of random fucking kids.
Yeah, and then one kid. My favorite one was the kid that was like, "Tomorrow's my birthday." And they were all like, "Okay," and we were like, "What do you want for your birthday?" He's like, "I want cake." And they're like, "We can't make cake, you asshole! We have is fucking corn."
It's like douche. Listen up here. Everyone you love is dead.
You cannot have cake. We don't have eggs.
We do not have eggs and flour here.
There are no chickens. There is nothing. We can't make you anything.
Well, I'm sorry, kid. We can't make you a fucking cake.
And then when the island gets attacked, he's like, "Does this mean my birthday's ruined?" God, think about somebody other than yourself, child.
God damn it, kids. So you do have to have a little bit of patience for anime children in this.
You do. Yeah, a little bit. Especially because I think like the big storytelling device in the first half is like Amuro waking up here and slowly having to gain the acceptance of the kids as
like children tribe.
Yeah, because he's like a soldier and they're like against the war and like, all their families were killed by the war and Doan left the war, but nobody really knows that.
It's weird because his squad does.
Yeah, his squad does, but not the kids. The kids don't know that.
Oh, right. Sorry. No, I misunderstood what you meant.
Yes. Yeah, the kids nor Amuro has any idea
of what the hell's going on.
He was like a Zaku. But no, his friends are all like, "Where's that Doan? We got to get him and we got to kill him."
Yeah, because everyone else, there's actually some weird thing here where like they think, Zeon thinks that Doan's still an operative of theirs.
They think he's a secret agent right now.
Yeah, but the Southern Cross is like, no, he's like fucking betraying us. We going to kill him.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently he did something like he was supposed to. And I really like this part of mystery attached in the movie where Doan like would always skip off to like this underground area with a submarine and like
that was a cool thing because he didn't ever know his intention there.
You never knew. And he was working on all these like missiles. And I guess the idea was
Gundam there too. So
he did hide the Gundam.
So you don't know what he's trying to do, if he's really still aligning himself with Zeon or if he's trying to really exit the war. I loved the ambiguity there. That was a great point.
Yeah. But apparently the whole time he was trying to deactivate the missiles.
Yeah.
And not like supply them to Zeon, who actually, as you said, thought that he was going to be the guy to launch them for Zeon, right? And attack like a certain federation. I guess Spain, blow up Spain because that's nearby.
There was actually like, they showed a map at one point. It was supposed to blow up a bunch of cities.
Yes, that's right.
Supposed to cause a bunch of people, bunch of death, a lot of bad stuff. Zeon's kind of buttholes when it comes to Earthlings.
Yeah, so, they seem to be. My God.
They're not the coolest. That all goes on. It was definitely predictable in the sense where it's like, okay, the Southern Cross is going to show up, we're going to have a big battle, and we're going to find out what the hell is going on. But predictable doesn't always mean bad.
No, so it was cool. I really liked that they showed up. I liked that we got the showdown between Doan and his former comrades, and Doan cleaned up, and Amuro came out to help, and that was pretty cool.
I mean, some of the fights were sick, because a lot of times Zakus didn't have laser swords of their own. They had the laser axes.
Right.
So seeing that one Zaku with a laser sword versus Doan with the axe was pretty sick.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, and they had what I always call the solo save, where it looks like Doan's fucked, and it's one of the Zaku's charging, like, "I'm gonna kill ya." Then a bunch of gunshots, and the villain turns around and goes, "What?" And then the Gundam is just standing there. It's like, oh no, that thing's gonna kill me, my face.
Oh no.
So, but yeah, that whole fight scene was cool. There was the one every anime ever moment where it was the one guy's like, I get to fight Dohan. Oh, yeah. My God, you're so good. And then he kills him and he's like, Dohan, thank you for this battle. I'm like, oh, my God. Bro. New Japan Pro Wrestling.
New Japan Pro Wrestling. Any video game fuck I've ever you. Played on fuck, a Nintendo fuck. Console.
Yeah, Yoda Tsuji, congratulations for winning the New Japan Cup. Finally getting a win in there somewhere.
I guess.
Apparently online, late. A lot of people love Yoda Tsuji. I'm like,
really?
Yeah, you know, Sean was telling me that like he saw like a lot of like in the comment section, people like, yeah, Yoda Tsuji's a fucking future man. And I'm like, really?
This guy?
Yeah.
Interesting. We'll see how that shakes out in the G1 this year.
Well, I mean, we'll see what the fuck happens in the G1 this year. Everyone just said, oh, the Japanese yen is tanking. I can't afford to work here anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. That is true. Yeah, that
so
is true.
So everyone just fucking bailed.
Yep.
It's going to be a very weird summer.
Yeah. Yes, it will. It definitely
will.
It's
going to be very fun. But yes, but that's the summer. This is Mecha March.
This is Mecha March. And yeah, that was, I mean, and at the end of it, right? I almost can't remember. Oh yeah, right. They win. Yep. And the missiles don't go off because
they
ha-ha.
Go up in, they explode, but they go up in the sky and do like a air. Firework thing.
That's right. And all the kids are and the kid that whose birthday it was is like, did you guys do the fireworks for my birthday? And they're all like, yes, fine.
And we're like, shut up,
shut
kid.
Up. God damn it. You almost died again. but yeah, so that's kind of where it ends. And like Amuro leaves with everybody because the white base came back to pick him up because they had originally lost him. So they sent out a search party, yada, yada, yada.
It was cool that like people were like, Dolan was like, damn, those are some loyal comrades.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Oh,
yeah,
and came back for you.
Yeah, they picked him up, and then they all parted ways, and Amuro was like, oh, bye. And Doan and the kids were like, oh, bye. And that was pretty much it.
I mean, yeah, from a plot perspective, yeah, that was totally it. I mean, from a perspective of the film itself, there was things I really enjoyed here. I did love the flashback sequences.
Mm.
Especially, like, the dreamy atmospheric kind of, like, background they had employed there, like kind of, like, almost like a filter, if you will. Like, everything was blue and cloudy when Amuro was just, like, reliving, like, his mom, it's like, I never want to see you again. You
oh,
kill people.
Yeah. That was pretty cool. I really like any time that they focus on Amuro's war crimes.
Yeah.
I'm like, nice. Sure. He's got to reckon with that at some point.
Well, also, yeah, because that's the reason he's up every day. And it's like, that's why he hasn't fucking slept in fucking weeks.
Weeks. Yeah. That stuff was crazy. But yeah, I don't know. I thought the animation was incredible. Yeah. And I will say, I was bored a few times. But overall, like when I finished it, I thought it was a really fun movie, actually. I thought it was really good.
I thought it was a really good time. I'll use the New Japan comparison again. If you watch any match for New Japan Pro Wrestling, the first 15 minutes are going to put you to sleep, but you
don't
need to pay attention.
Yep. So,
but the last like 5 to 10 are fucking barn burners.
Are going
to
be crazy. Yeah, like a basketball game, too.
Yeah, like a basketball game. And, you know, a lot of other athletic contests fall in the same field. And right. Since a lot of modern Japanese anime in particular has like such a sports-centered attitude and focus, that makes sense of why, you know, you gotta play the long game with a lot of these things.
Yeah, and they really played the long game. I mean, they stretched out hour 45 minutes. The film actually made 3 million yen in Japan, and it debuted third on its first weekend at the box office.
Three or 300 million?
300 million. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I misspoke there. It's definitely good. 300 million.
Yes. Yeah, it was like, I think 3 million is like a couple thousand bucks. I'm like, huh?
Yeah. No. It's definitely 300 million.
There
and
we
then
go.
It got up to 400 million, and then it ended with 1.08 billion yen.
There we
by,
go.
By the end of August that year. So, seems like it was pretty successful.
Moderately
in Japan
successful,
as well.
Yeah. So, yeah. Like, people recognized it, you know, and it's, again, so what this was, you know, you could compare it to all the OVAs I've been pumping out set in the UC, you know, expanding the lore and, you know, depth of what happened during, you know, the 1 year war is stuff between Zeta, the original Double Zeta, all that stuff. So It's cool how they're diving back into pockets of the UC and finding these new stories to tell.
Yeah. Yeah. I was imagining somebody that watched Gundam in the 70s or the early 80s and saw and was like, and just sees this movie come out like, what is that, 50 years later?
Yeah.
It's probably like, whoa, okay.
Yeah, like 45 years later at this point. It's like, what?
That's crazy. Yeah, like why? But all right, I'll go watch it. So I mean shout out to anybody that had that experience because
shout out to anyone any of the OGs going like, what the fuck?
well, like, I got to get out to see this, I guess.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's nice. I think it was, honestly, I'm going to, you know, to wrap up here,
yeah.
I'm going to say not bad.
Oh, yeah, not bad at all.
I'm going to say quite good, given just like a few like points of lulls. Other yeah. than that, like it was spectacularly animated. The story was actually great.
Yeah, if you can tell by the way we're talking about it, everything we have negative to say are borderline nitpicks, honestly.
Yeah, they are nitpicks. They're timing issues and just how it like was slow at certain points, but it had its pickup time, so I mean,
it had a ton of charm, and it's really convenient actually. So theoretically, if you're getting into Gundam, one way you could do it is watch Gundam 1 on Netflix, watch this in between, and then go back and watch Gundam 2.
Yeah.
You could theoretically do that. It's totally optional viewing. It's not going to add much to like your experience of the Gundam story, but if you're digging the giant robots and the horrors of war, this is just more of that. But, you know, modern animation, so a lot cleaner, a lot more hype, and there's a lot more yeah. numbers on the Gundams.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that really stuck out to me, all the fucking numbers on the Zaku yep. Gundams. Like, god damn, you see the fucking serial numbers?
yeah, it's pretty cool, actually. I did like the numbers.
It was very unique, and you know, all the modern model kits now have all those numbers on it.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's genius integration right there with the merchandising machine that Gundam has behind it. So
thanks for mentioning the word machine, because it looks like with that, we're at the end of our 4 weeks of Mecha March.
I don't want it to end, though.
How sad.
I really don't want this to end. I was having such a good time.
I was having a really nice time, too. I really enjoyed kind of digging into the Gundam series for the first time ever, really.
Yeah, like really digging in this time, yeah.
Yeah, and it was very exciting. So I think like throughout the year, I mean, maybe we'll take a little break from mechs, but like once we get back into it, we'd love yeah. to try some more Gundams
let's,
out
let's
this
try some
year.
More Gundam. Let's go maybe continue the UC stuff and maybe wrap up the original series and then maybe explore some of the other cool OVAs and films that exist within this continuity.
We totally could. But as we mentioned earlier, next week we're kind of like not doing a mech, but like we're kind of weaning off
we're
it a little bit.
We're kind of weaning off there. Yeah. Oh my god. Yeah. And it's a show that is a show.
It's... You know, it is definitely a show. I will give you that much, yes.
It's bad.
That's right, everybody. The fun is over today. Thanks so much for clicking on the episode. But the fun does not have to stop here. You can hit us up anywhere that you can find us on Instagram or TikTok at Bad Anime Pod, or you can even email us to get in touch with us directly at badanimepod@gmail.com. If you got any opinions or you just want to send some hate mail or love mail, we'll take both. We don't care. Thanks so much for listening, everybody, and have a great day.
Simple Equations Podcast Network.